Blog Talk Radio.
Life, growth, and wellness.
Serve as your tour guide on this journey. Thank you for being a part of this life event. I am so excited you chose to join in today. So let's get this party started. As we come together each week, we take time to anchor ourselves in affirmative reading. So our reading for this week, I welcome the awesome power of the Most High in my life. My mind, body, and emotions are healed. The healing is already done. I radiate wholeness from inside to out. I am a part of the Infinite One. Today, I declare my healing. In truth, there is no would-haves or could-haves or maybe tomorrow. My body is whole and complete. It is done now. Our affirmation for this week is already done, already healed. So now let's pause for a moment of inner reflection by becoming still as we honor our ancestors. Our ancestors are so important, and they deserve the honor and the respect. So today, due to our ancestors, being our way shores, our truth, and without them we would not exist. We pause for a brief moment and pay homage to our ancestors. Thank you. It's all about life. It's all about love. It's all about wellness. The mission of life, love, wellness is the upliftment of ourselves, to truly, truly love ourselves and to be genuinely involved in our holistic wellness. Our topic today is OMG, what is a GMO and can it be dangerous? We're honored to have Dr. Mark with us, who's doing part two of his insightful teachings. You have asked, and he is now answering your call. For those of you with us for the first time or missed the first show with our esteemed guest, Dr. Mark, he is one of the world's renowned naturopathic doctors. Dr. Mark has spent years in the search and study of a system that aids people into a state of wholeness and wellness. His studies include many traditional Chinese medicine modalities, or TCM. As most leaders do, he is constantly learning from the world's best teachers so that he can perfect those skills and incorporate them into what he teaches. Dr. Mark is a compassionate teacher and healer. Audience, you're invited to join in the discussion. All comments are welcomed, and every voice will be heard with complete acceptance and no judgment. So you can call in and speak with me or Dr. Mark on 516-531-9819. And just press 1 to alert me you want to speak on air. So this is our disclaimer. The contents of this radio show are intended for information and educational purposes only. Nothing is intended to diagnose or prescribe treatment for any health condition. Our intention is to help guide you to live a healthy lifestyle and prevent health problems. If you suspect you have a health problem, please seek qualified health professionals to help you make the healthiest informed choice. Always consult with your doctor before starting any new health treatment program. Nothing stated is intended to constitute a medical diagnosis or treatment. Nothing is intended as a recommendation or endorsement of any specific tests, products, procedures, opinions, or other information that may be mentioned on this show. Dr. Mark is a licensed practitioner, yet I am not. We are providing information to you for your knowledge. Please use licensed physicians as needed. Any reliance on any information provided is solely at the user's risk. You are listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. We're going to pause just for a moment to play some music, and we're going to come back and get started with Dr. Mark Armstrong. Life, Love, Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. You are welcome to call and chat with us on air at 516-531-9819 and press 1 to signal you wish to speak on air. We have lots and lots we're going to be covering tonight. Specifically, OMG, what is a GMO and is it dangerous? So we're honored to have Dr. Mark Armstrong with us tonight, one of the world's renowned naturopathic doctors, in part two of his discussion with us. You asked, and here he is. So let me read his bio. Dr. Mark Armstrong is a naturopathic practitioner, teacher, and trainer for over 25 years. He has practiced complementary, alternative, and Chinese medicines since 1982. In 1995, he became founder and director of the Ahimki Center for Wholeness. The first center was located several years in Marietta, and the second center is currently located in Roswell, Georgia. He uses different types of modalities, tools, and processes designed to help the body balance and heal itself. Over the years, he has received numerous certifications, trainings, and recognition in his field. Dr. Mark's major areas of training and experience are in mind management, access consciousness, therapeutic massage therapy, acupressure, EFT, cranial sacral therapy, and energy balancing, just to name a few. He's one of several practitioners in the state of Georgia trained and qualified to use the Odomd biofeedback system from Germany. He has a strong belief in community holistic health education and provides seminars to churches, schools, colleges, universities, and businesses, presents at various medical conferences and health and wellness events. Dr. Mark has appeared on various radio and cable TV shows. Dr. Mark has a BS in ergonomics and health sciences from the University of California at Santa Barbara. He completed advanced studies and certification at the Holistic Studies Institute, the California Acupuncture College in Santa Barbara, California, and the Clayton College of Natural Healing. He has a master's and a doctorate in divinity from the Universal Brotherhood University. So without further ado, I introduce to you my friend, Dr. Mark Armstrong.
Oh, thank you so very much, Sandy. Do appreciate the invitation. And to all the listeners, may the creator of your fathers, bless each and every one of you in honoring your ancestors more than you have been blessed before, 1,000 times more than ever before right now. We accept that. If you do, say Ashe.
Ashe.
Yes. So I'm really honored because a lot of my clients always come in and ask me, what are GMOs? And are they good and are they safe? And are GMOs labeled? And where does the non-GMO projects that are counterbalancing this, where are those people that have a point of view other than what are GMOs? So I thought it would be really good, Sandy, if we just start by giving a definition of what are GMOs, because it's not really clear, so I thought maybe we can make that clear tonight in this next hour or so. So if that's okay with
you
and the listeners, I like to start by saying that GMO stands for genetically modified organisms. And those of you that, like me, like to take notes because you're good students, you would want to write this down. Genetically modified organisms. And what they are, Sandy, they're living organisms whose genetic material has been artificially, and I do want you to underline, artificially manipulated in laboratories through genetic engineering, or GE. This is a relatively new study, and it creates an unstable combination of plants, animals, bacteria, viral germs that do not occur in nature, but only through traditional crossbreeding methods. Virtually all of the commercial GMOs are engineered to withstand direct application from herbicides and also insecticides. This means that GMOs have a trait currently on the market that do not yield any real evidence of nutritional value or any other benefit to the consumer. And yet, we are able to make these laws and to give people this poison. Meanwhile, there's a growing body of evidence that GMOs and will produce health problems, and they lead to environmental damage and are violations of our farmers and our consumers' rights. In other words, these companies are holding our farmers hostage because of the laws that won't allow them to use plants that actually do have seeds that can produce more plants. I want you to catch that. We are making watermelon seedless. So there's no growth and there's no life to it. Yes, it is a hybrid. Yes, it can taste and look like a watermelon, but the benefits to your body, and that is really important, the benefits to your body are unsafe. GMO, genetically modified organisms, are basically unsafe. In more than 60 countries around the world, including Australia, Japan, and even Europe and the European Union, they significantly restricted outright any kind of genetically modified engineering food in their country. But in the U.S. government, here where we live, GMOs have been approved by our FDA, which means they think, without a question of a doubt, that we're not paying attention to what's on the label, and they can make artificial foods to service that have no nutritional value and later cause our body's health issues just to manipulate us and to make more money. Now, I don't know about you, but that really pisses me off. That Big Brother that's supposed to be watching after us is so in bed with Santos and all of the agents of darkness that they would just plow right through legal sensibility and common sense to give us this crap. I am not for genetically modified organisms, and nor will I create a balance on that because I see what that is already doing to our kids. More and more children in the inner cities are fed that junk. ADD, ADHD is on a rampage. Children cannot learn nor focus in school when they receive nutrition that's nothing but genetically modified engineering food. Do you think the corn is really real that they're serving in our inner cities? No. Do you think the fruits and vegetables that children are supposed to be getting every day has any nutritional value? Audience, think for yourself. No. Do you think that these really inexpensive pizzas that they have tomato sauce are using real organic natural plant-based vegetables on them? No. It's all genetically engineered organisms to save money and to create virtually havoc in our communities. And our communities are where they're serving more of the crap. I mean, in some of the really nice communities, they actually do have choice, and people are demanding that they put fresh produce in their stores. If you're shopping and you are just walking around the perimeter of the store, you know, you really see what's going on. And when you go down the aisles, you really find that that's where all the genetically modified discounts, buy two, get one free. Get a load of that. Buy two and get one free? I mean, you know they're feeding you crap, and they want to make money and insult you by feeding you more crap. So 25 years from now, your kids will have kidney failure. They'll have problems with diabetes. They will probably be on dialysis before your grandmother because of the poison that they're consuming every day of their lives. They're overwhelmed with that. And to me, it's political, it is a conspiracy, and it's projected at poor people. So we have to really make up our minds to choose to go back to eating from our garden going back to having a garden, going back to communities where we work together and we were responsible for helping each other. Someone maybe grew string beans, someone maybe grew yams, and someone maybe grew okra, and we had a plethora of healthy food. Everyone knows that the battlefield is the mind. So if you can get genetically modified organisms into our body, which will basically mutate into toxins and poisons and break down the cellular functioning of the brain and the organs in the cells of the body, then you win. You win in terms of illness. Healthcare is a $40 billion. And most people, they're paying off their backs when they get older because they don't have the money to keep up with all these diseases that genetically modified engineered organisms are doing. We have to wake up. And, you know, I just thought if I could have an opportunity to talk to you about genetically modified organisms and how the government has set up, you know, a path for this to be more and more used in our communities and in our grocery stores and throughout our, you know, our shopping places where we buy food, then you too will begin to think and say, maybe I have a choice. Any questions, Sandy, about some of the things that we mentioned?
I would like to add to what you just said is there has been study after study after study done to show the correlation with the increase of diseases since the introduction of GMOs into our food line, and that autism was something that is a direct result of GMOs and the various cancers and other ailments that we have are, they begin in our autoimmune system, which is in our gut. And so that's where the GMO first lands would be in our gut. And so they're at the center. And just trying to make it very elementary for people, because we need to understand this. And Dr. Mark, I agree with you when you say that, you know, there are 60 other countries that do not allow the toxins that we allow on our food to enter their borders. And I know down in Haiti when they were having some issues and they wouldn't even accept any food or any seeds coming from out of the United States. So even those countries that are considered less wealthy than, you know, in they don't want it either. You know, their health is more important to them than receiving the toxins from the United States. And why we would allow that, it just puzzles me. But from what some of the reading that I've done, it says that Monsanto had started out originally, their goal was to be the number one food producers in the world. And so, but they were a chemical company, a herbicide, insecticide company starting out. But in order to reach that goal, then that's when they came up with the GMOs and the GEOs in order to control the seeds and the products, the fruits and vegetables and the, you know, what we eat. And so that they could get into that position, and a lot of their former employees are now sitting on the boards of these governing bodies in government, mm-hmm. and that's how a lot of this stuff is getting passed or getting on our shelves, and we're not knowledgeable. So what do you say to that, Dr. Mark?
I say that in 2012, the Millennium Group took a poll, and there were over 91% of the American consumers wanted GMOs labeled. They said, okay, we don't really know all there is to know, but we would like, 91% said we would like to have, these are Americans, we would like to have those labels on there so that we would know. But according to a recent CBS News/New York Times poll, 53% of the consumers said that they would not buy food that have been genetically modified. So the American people are beginning to wake up. They're beginning to say to these big lobbyists that we don't really want to eat this. And if you're forcing us to it, then we want it on the labels so that if we have problems, we can go back and sue them. GMOs are not even labeled. They're supposed to be labeled, but they can sneak it in. And they get it under a low visibility clause. For example, dried fruit, raisins, small fruit, pickles are the most common to not be labeled as GMO risk factors. That means even nuts, and I see this a lot, they are really lacing a lot of the organic things with sulfates, and those sulfates are genetically modified. So I'm finding people that try to buy the trail mix and eat the right things developing allergies to some of the things they used to be able to eat because the raisins, the fruit that's in it, are genetically modified. So, I mean, most of us would like a little bit of old-fashioned coconut sliced up in our trail mix. Yeah, we would like, you know, peaches in there. We dried peaches or maybe, something, you know, wonderful like dates. All that now is genetically modified. And people are having allergic reactions to that. See, I'm on the other end where I see people that come in and they have all of these food sensitivities. They used to be able, Sandy, to eat pretty healthy and not break out. But they've been sneaky getting the GMOs in, and that's a risk. Because now people, especially children, have been proven, and as you mentioned so insightfully, that people are getting sick and sicker and sicker, and it's related to this issue, this genetically modified organism that they're sliding on us. And then there's a plethora of other things like chemtrails. We're here in Atlanta, Georgia, and right around Dobbins Air Force Base, you see lots of chemtrails where they leave this debris all in the air. And it really correlates to flus and pandemics that they're trying to find how many people can get sick by making us sick. And then they can use their Tamiflu and all the other things that they have hidden, you know, as things that are supposed to help us. They have this resurgence of all these drugs that they can give us. Flu shots are now almost free. And that's the worst thing you can take if your immune system is sick. I know people that never had colds until they got flu shots, and they're mostly the elderly. Whatever happened to prevention, you know, eating healthy and walking and good water and good air? No, they really just want you to take the drug and call it a day. And if that doesn't work, we have treatment for you. And those are Ativair, more inhalers for you to take. And that stuff will kill you. I used to be on some of that as a kid. That stuff is hard on your immune system. It's steroid-based. It's going to blow you up and get you fat. It would be better to get rid of some of these genetically modified engineered organisms and get rid of the candida out of the body and cleanse the colon, and your lungs would feel much better. So we got some work to do. I mean, I'm excited to be on the show to talk a little bit about genetically modified organisms and to also give the listeners a place where they can participate. There are websites out there that actually do have GMO facts. It's called the Non-GMO Project. I like for everyone the Non-GMO Project, just .org. If you could just click on that, you will learn so much about GMOs and just the science behind GMOs. As Sandy was talking about Santos and some of the ways that they've orchestrated through our lobbyists to pass all these laws that give us some of the myth about it. They spin the lies so that we don't know the truth. And most people will not read because they don't see the correlation yet. but as they wake up, it may be too late.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So from the Organic Consumers Association, I received an email within the last couple of days, and it is calling for action from voters or just from the general public. And it's asking for you to call your Congress member, especially if he or she is a member of the House Committee on Agriculture or the House Committee on Energy and Commerce, or write a letter to the editor of your local newspaper, post on your Congress member's Facebook page, or organize a rally outside your Congress member's home office on May 26th, 27th, or 28th. Called Make Noise, because if we don't, Congress could take away our right to know about GMOs in our food forever. And we're talking about H.R. 1599, the Safe and Accurate Food Labeling Act, introduced by Representative Mike Pompeo, a Republican out of Kansas. Ironic, Pompeo's bill proposes nothing if not inaccurate labeling of foods by preventing you from ever learning which foods may contain GMOs, just like Dr. Mark was just saying. So H.R. 1599 now has 31 Republican and 11 Democrat co-sponsors representing 28 states. With Vermont's GMO labeling law set to take effect July the 1st, 2016, Monsanto and the Grocery Manufacturers Association are desperate to pass the DARK, D-A-R-K, the DARK Act. Our job is to stop them. They said, we need you. And so we need to go in and make sure that we organize a day of action or do whatever we can to oppose that H.R. Bill 1599.
Now, the sad truth, thank you so very much, Sandy, for giving us that bill. Maybe at the end you could repeat it, because I know your listeners are going to want to watch that down. But are our kids eating genetically engineered food? Maybe you don't care about yourself, but you ought to care about your kids. And I know most people really probably care more for their pets than they do themselves, because I see people that won't spend money on themselves, but their dog is right next door to us at the vet and getting dewormed. Get a load of that. The dog is getting dewormed, and they won't spend the money to take anything to cleanse themselves out. But here's the sad truth about our children. Many of our foods that are most popular, including GMOs that go with our children, are cereals. The cereals that the kids eat, nothing but genetically modified organisms. The snack bars that they're being targeted, nothing but genetic. Even all the cookies, the processed lunch meat, those lunch meat, genetically modified. And kids love crackers with the fish on them, fish made like, you know, the in the movies, all that's genetically modified. So in North America, over 80% of our foods right now contain genetically modified organisms. And I'm saying organisms because it's stuff that's just made up. It's plants. It's fungus. It's bacteria. It's just crap. It's almost like milk. Do you know that milk has pus in it? Full of pus and bacteria and antibiotics. And they always ask, have you had your milk today? If you drink your milk from a cow, that is so unnatural, you are definitely going to have food allergies. Definitely. And if you're not buying these foods, then you really feel guilty because those kids have been so targeted by those commercials that they make you feel sick if you don't buy that prefab lunch meat. I mean, they want kids to learn, just feed them well. They are piles of what they've been eating, and especially in the inner city. You know, we can see that they're really behind because the best lunch they have, I met parents that have to send their kids to summer school just so they can eat. Because when they're out of school, they don't get meals. And you know what they're getting in school is not organic. I mean, that's sad. And then you look at why the gap is getting bigger and bigger between the haves and have-nots. It's definitely class. It's definitely class, and it's definitely race, and it's definitely choices that we're making. But a lot of those choices are made for us. These laws are passed with us not even having a vote. 80% of our food now contains GMOs. So that means 80% of what you buy in that store is that now, unless you're going to Whole Foods. And even then, you have to ask good questions.
Yeah, because Whole Foods sell product with GMO, and it's not labeled as well. And that was brought out to our public knowledge last year or year before. But, Dr. Mark, you know, so many of the lower income neighborhoods or, you know, our poor neighborhoods, that they're targeted by the fast food industry. And you go into the more affluent neighborhoods and you don't see McDonald's and the Wendy's and the Checkers or, you know, whatever the name of all of those places are. And so, and then also we have the other issue where there are some neighborhoods where there's not a decent grocery store within miles. And they, you know, and for someone with no transportation, how they get, you know, to any food is just a real big hassle and a traumatic experience for them to go through. So I can see why the mind may be, well, you know, let me just get what I can. I can go and spend 50 cents on a hamburger, so at least my children will have something to eat. So I can understand somewhat the rationale behind that. But like you said, why not get back into growing our own food and doing that that neighborhood share project? You know, like,
yeah,
okay, I'm going to do greens. I'm going to do collard greens. Well, I'm going to do onions, and I'll do tomatoes, or, you know, and just have an exchange. And I don't know if we think or talk enough about those type of solutions to the issues, but we're being sometimes I laugh about the United States because it's like we're one big laboratory and people are just coming up with all of these concoctions to see what's going to kill us.
I mean, according to the Organic Trade Association, the use of genetically modified organisms is prohibited in organic products. Now, this means that organic farmers can't plant GMO seeds, and organic cows can't eat GMO alfalfa or corn. So that's a good thing if we would really follow that trade association agreement. But sometimes the farmers will cave in because, you know, it's about money. If you buy the GMO feed, the government gives you, guess what, subsidy. They pay for that. So the meat could be cheap, and they could sell that meat to these franchises that you just mentioned, and the hamburgers can be less. That is all business with them. And so that's why the hamburgers are so inexpensive, and they can supersize all that because they know that it's genetically modified. And in doing so, they can get more poison into our communities. And the government is paying for that. They're giving them to use their seeds, to use their alfalfa, to use their corn. And the guys that are buying really organic get no break whatsoever from the government. No break whatsoever.
Yeah.
And people go, well, you know, organic costs a lot more. Well, yeah, if you're not subsidizing the hell out of it, you know, it will cost compared to all the free stuff. And that is to make that happen so they can drive the price up for organic, and poor people will have no other choice but to eat that crap.
Right.
And I think if people knew about it, they would be pissed. They would think, who's taking away my rights? You're supposed to be senator on my side, congressman on my side. You're supposed to be state government on my side. You're supposed to be trade commissioner. You're supposed to be on my side and look at the government, just profiting off the backs of poor people, because that's who's getting the most genetically modified organisms in their body. It's not the rich, not the wealthy. It's not even the educated. I mean, it's people that really are just poor that don't have choices.
Right. Mm-hmm. Here's another one, too. You were mentioning about the animals. So there's something called the avian, A-V-I-A-N, flu, and there's an outbreak among chickens right now. And so it says three large egg-producing states in the United States are in the midst of an avian flu outbreak. Iowa, where about 20% of all U.S. eggs are produced, declared a state of emergency on May the 1st. Minnesota and Wisconsin declared states of emergency last month, and dozens of countries have imposed partial or total bans on United States poultry. It's estimated that 25% of all chickens in Iowa have been infected, and millions of chickens and turkeys in the three states have already been killed in an effort to contain the disease. According to Reuters, Iowa officials started receiving notice about an outbreak of the virus beginning on April the 21st. The pathogen is highly contagious for turkeys, chickens, and other poultry. While it's not a threat to humans, it can lead to high costs over the loss of livestock and property and quickly exhaust local emergency responses. CA to health. This outbreak is really not surprising. In fact, is exactly what you can expect when you dramatically disrupt the natural order of things. That's what you were just talking about. And produce food under wholly unnatural circumstances. Confined animal feeding operations, that's the CAFO, are major warehouse-style growing facilities where animals are crowded together by the thousands, or in the case of chickens, tens of thousands. These animals are fed a completely unnatural diet of glyphosate containing genetically engineered, that's your GEs, grains, mixed with antibiotics. A surefire recipe for drug resistance and out of control spread of disease, both among animals and humans. This program is certainly not restricted to chickens, CAFOs. The same applies to cattle and hog farms as well. As an example, hog farmers are six times more likely than the general population to carry drug-resistant staph.
Yeah, that's really really interesting, is because, you know, they know that these animals need antibiotics, so they just ratchet it up and give them more, which means there's more resistance. So you eat the meat, then pretty soon it's no longer a shot to give you, you know, the penicillin or to knock it out. You need super drugs to knock it out because the strain has already been proven through the cattle and the hogs and the pigs and the chicken, but also hidden in our common foods such as soy, cotton, canola oil, corn, sugar, beets, Hawaiian papaya, alfalfa, squash, yellow, and zucchini. Many of these items have added amounts of resistance in it, and they're also parts of our body that we are using, you know, in terms of foods that we're eating, like tofu and soy milk, are more likely, in large percentage, all GMOs. And they're hidden. They're hidden in things such as our amino acids, the aspartame, the ascorbic acid, sodium ascorbate, even vitamin C. They're hiding this in there, even our vitamins that have those ingredients, because a lot of them are cutting corners. Anything that has high fructose, corn syrup, hydrolyzed vegetables, proteins are all genetically modified now, including sucrose and xylogum, and all of the yeast products are mostly GMOs at this point. It's overwhelming to really think about how to eat a really good diet unless you are growing your own food. It's pretty hard right now. I mean, people that our family, they said, well, we're living longer. But the truth is we have medicine that can prevent a lot of diseases, and we have treatments, like we can replace kidneys now, like we can take out organs now. That's what's making us live longer. But the quality of life is not better than it was 50 years. We're going down the tube. Obesity is highest in America. With all this wealth and all the technology, why is obesity rate so high in America? Why is cancer so high in America? Because we eat this crap. We eat this meat. We eat this stuff that's genetically modified. And it's killing us. And people are turning deaf ears to this and go, no, it's not that bad. You know, it's just modified in the lab. It's saving money. But is it saving lives? That's the question. Is any of this helping the quality of your child's life, especially when most of them eat right from the store, fast food right there in the restaurant, fast food every day? I mean, I see this one kid that says, I'm not a science experiment. Hmm. I mean, she's like, I'm not a science experiment. I'm not.
Yeah,
I mean, she's got a sign in her own writing, I'm not a science experiment. I mean, you don't have to give me this crap is what this little kid is saying.
Exactly. We have a caller that's being very patient, but I didn't see a place to stop right there. So,
sure.
caller 678. I know, right? 678-592, you're on air. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your statement or comment, please.
Yes, Sandy, Dr. Mark, this is Deborah. Great show. I came in the middle of it. But one of the things that I wanted to add on to what you all have said so far is that whole idea of addiction.
Yes.
Because with the food piece, it's a highly addictive process for people, whether it be the sugar, whether it be the oils or whatever. And my second point, I'm down at Grady a lot of times, and there is a McDonald's that is there that is open 24/7.
Right
there next to the hospital. And not only are the patients going there, but also the staff members are going there in the middle of the night, during the day, to get whatever they need to get.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's a sad piece. And when you look at Grady now, the eyes of Grady has changed. Where it used to be possibly poverty-stricken people, there is up and down the scale of people that are coming to Grady because they have a new neuro unit. So there are all kinds of people, and they're also partaking in the food not only that Grady serves, but also at McDonald's.
Yes.
You have Europeans, you have people from India, you have Hispanic population, just everyone now. So this thing is touching the lives of not only of people of color, but all peoples. When I travel down to Tobago, fast food in Tobago and Trinidad,
yes,
you know, where food can easily be grown. So this is a worldwide experiment, if you will.
Yes.
And the way that they determine how people are going to die, they already know because they know what they're doing to make it happen.
Exactly.
So we all are part of a research project. But the one thing that I can say, and just like Brother Juju said when he was alive, we have to learn to reverse the polarity on what's going on here.
Yes.
Because we can't not and we will not be victims to it, whether that be through our prayer work, whether that be through our study groups, and we're in war. So there are going to be people that are going to be lost.
Yeah.
And whether we are telling them, showing them, there's still going to be people who say, you know, that's not for me. And even with some folks that are in the health industry. I know of a cardiologist years ago when I was working at Southwest Hospital, and at that time the doctors would walk around smoking cigarettes in the hospital.
Yes.
And I said to him, well, you're smoking a cigarette. He said, well, I'm going to die of something. And that
wow.
becomes the mentality of so many of us. And we're being attacked on all levels.
Yes.
All levels, from the food to the chemtrails, like you mentioned, to the television, to all of us. But we have to be prayerful and know that they will be people that will be lost, that will not
nope.
make it to the other side.
And that's part of war. You know, the whole process of the war that we're in is much bigger than GMOs. It is really a spiritual war. It is a spiritual battle. And the battle is for your mind. The battle is for your spirit. The battle's for your birthright. And we do have power. I'd like to tell the audience out there that there's several things that we can do to really counterbalance this, as you're speaking, Deborah, so eloquently. What do we do to counterbalance all of this poison that is just around you? Well, first thing, you have to wake up and know that, like an alcoholic, you know, I am addicted. You have to become clean. You do know you like that sweet corn, and that sweet corn is genetically modified. So what can you do? Could you balance that out by asking for some time that we buy organic, just to counterbalance that? And if that's too much, could you just pray over your food, raise the vibration? Could you spend energy into your water? Could you wash this food? Could you really, really wash the greens? I mean, rinse them well. Some of these things would actually rip off some of the pesticides and the herbicides that are there, and that will lower the toxicity level inside of you. Could you drink clean water? Could we all find a way to drink better water? Could we quit smoking? I mean, we're putting in chemicals, nicotine, cadmium, lead, mercury, cocaine, all that's in a cigarette. There are 750 known carcinogens in a cigarette. That's why it's not easy to quit. But there are some things that you can do to kind of balance those carcinogenic factors in your body. And we like to talk about them, too, because that would help you gain a little bit of relief from all the toxicity that you're putting in your body. The toxicity is in your cells. It's converting them into fat cells. It's creating, in some cases, ammonia in the body. And in some cases, it's making the body very combustible. There are some people that just implode. I saw this in Leonard Nimoy called In Search. There were some people that just burned up from the toxins. Now, they were smoking, and they laid down, and their bodies just burned up just from all the poison inside of them.
Yeah.
You know, that's how sick, man. We're full of this soup that we grew up in, and it's full of emotional issues, too, that are triggered. And so the bigger picture, a bigger picture, is to work on, you know, these subtle bodies, the mental body, really kind of clean that up. And I like the work that DeBoer is doing with the colonic. I mean, that should be a goal of everybody, to get and see someone who's trained, such as DeBoer, and at least have a consultation and learn what you can do to lower the toxicity level in your body. Because you don't want to spend all this life working and then get to retirement, which is what I see. And people can't enjoy their life because they're sick.
Right.
But they've been getting sick for a long time. And the cancer just didn't start. The ingestation process of cancer is 7 years before it shows up. So we need to start getting an early start on our children. I think that's where the battlefield is really educating them. And the parents, pointing them in the right direction for the future, asking them to be good models for their kids, but certainly getting this into the schools where there's Tai Chi and yoga and healthy eating, and, you know, it's just as important as all the other reading and writing and arithmetic and language. It's very important that we put food and the mental and emotional stuff back into the schools like they used to be to get our kids to really grow. That's where I think we should be going with this topic.
Excellent point, Dr. Mark. Excellent. Thank you, DeBoer, for your comments. Very well received. I want to make another announcement here. This Saturday, the 23rd, there's the third annual March Against Monsanto Atlanta. It's called MAMA, M-A-M-A. Millions of people around the world will once again march against Monsanto, calling for a permanent boycott of genetically engineered organisms and harmful agrochemicals. Our annual march, rally, and festival will be held on Saturday, May 23rd at Truly Living Well Center for Urban at the Wheat Street Gardens, 75 Hillier Street in Atlanta. The gates will open at 11 a.m. and the march will begin at 12 noon with speakers to follow immediately after the march. It will be an approximate 2.2-mile march through the Auburn Avenue Boulevard, Jackson, Highland, Piedmont, Irwin Street communities, a good way to get a little exercise while calling attention to a very important cause. There will be dynamic speakers, tons of valuable information, vendor sales, activities, and prizes for the children and music. So please go out and join the March Against Monsanto Atlanta to bring attention to answers and awareness of GMOs and the effects they have on our health, as we've been discussing tonight, the health of our families and the health of our planet. We have another caller, area code 940-535. Would you tell us your name and where you're calling from and your comment, please?
My name is Eve, and I'm calling from Texas. And I want to thank you. Oh, hey, Sandy and Barb, and look at the doctor, the wonderful doctor. I want to thank you, Sandy, for the best show, and the doctor. Wow, it's good to have you back again, and to bring me back again, and to enlighten me even more with the truth within me, and for me to pass it on. And I want to give you a high regards to that, and I'm really feeling good and passionate, and I appreciate you, and I'm looking forward to you coming back again.
Oh, thank you very much. And you know, tomatoes were first in 1994 genetically modified, and they became the first commercial products that were produced at a wide level back in 1997. And since then, they haven't stopped genetically modified engineered tomatoes. So do you know the difference between, you know, a store-bought tomato and a vine-ripened tomato? They taste totally different. They look
different.
And we got to get, there are some people in our families and our communities that don't know the difference. They have never, ever tasted in their lifetime a real tomato. That's sad. That is so sad. Do you know there's now farms that actually harvest salmon and grow that. And do you know that even salmon nowadays, genetically modified through laboratory studies. So KFC doesn't even call it chicken anymore. It's not even chicken from Kentucky Fried Chicken. That is engineered food. Tastes like chicken.
Well, I think the stuff that is being... I think a lot of the food items, so-called food items, those things appearing as food are not real food. You know, like chicken, what is it, chicken fingers, you know, how you make a chicken finger. You know, just some of the wording should be enough to just cause us to really think or take a second look at or think twice before we make the purchase. So we have another caller, area code 817-657. Please give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comment, please.
Okay, this is William from Atlanta. And again, I want to express my gratitude for the effort to get a word out that's so vitally necessary. I don't think that we, public, I don't think that we realize how serious this issue is and how important it is to act on the information when we get it. One of the callers mentioned that we're in a war, and I was reminded of something that's been repeated often, and that war is strategy. And those of us who have some level of consciousness and that have access to information, it's high time for us to develop strategy. As one of the callers mentioned, a lot of people won't change even when they get information. A lot of them will choose to continue to do harm to their bodies and ignore good information. But there is a significant number that I'm convinced of people who do care and are concerned that might represent that critical mass. That could educate ourselves. It just so happens that I was very concerned about my grandkids being sick too often here recently, and so I started doing some research myself, and I'm pretty conscious and pretty well informed, but I really didn't know a whole lot about GMO until I started looking online. There's a lot of information, and as it turns out, some of my family members who have access to information, they're kind of resistant to change themselves. So that's going to be the case. But the hope is in those of us who consider ourselves being conscious and who have access to information, it's time for us to strategize, especially in the hood, in the neighborhoods, in the ghettos, in the inner cities. It's time for us to develop strategy to get information, enough information in a very simple, easily understandable form where those who will respond to it and will represent that little critical mass to bring about the change can happen. Strategy is very important. I think it's high time for that. So I just wanted to share that thought and get some feedback from the two of you on that.
Well, William, and especially Deborah, you guys are definitely on point. Deborah's point was, there are lots of people that are even in healthcare that are not on board. Like, for example, this doctor who smoked and said he's got to die from something. Yes, you might have lowered your consciousness to that point of view, but the rest of us don't need to die from secondhand smoke. So we need to raise the vibration so that people at least get around us, you know, to at least 200, which is the beginning to have, according to the map of consciousness, it is basically neutrality. When you get to a place where you're neutral, a place where it's right or wrong, good or bad, then you can actually have some impact because people are not necessarily resisting. They're just given an opportunity to choose. And everyone can make a choice based upon their consciousness. So one strategy, and I do agree, is not to necessarily attack our family members because we know that they've been programmed, and they've been programmed from day one, from the first time we put the Gerber's food in their mouth, in the baby's mouth. That is sugar. That is genetically modified, and the kids are craving that. They grow up with that, just like people grow up with addictions. Is that your point, William? That kids kind of grow up like that, and parents go, well, I don't know what to give him because that's how he was raised.
Right.
But here's how we can change that. We actually detox them. We create programs and get back to the ancient ways that if we can deworm a dog. I mean, a lady was in my office, and her dog was next door at the vet getting dewormed. Then don't you think that you need to cleanse your colon out. Don't you think you might want to give up and get rid of some of the candida, the sugar that is eating you up? Don't you think you might want to let go of some of the parasites that are flukes in your lung or, you know, in your liver or in your heart? Don't you think you want to do that? And I think making programs like Grandma and Big Mama did for us goes a long way. Teaching our families to spring clean. I mean, take the beds out into the sun and beat those suckers with brooms and cleanse and get rid of the mattresses after about 8 years. Drink good water and cleanse with sage and dragon blood our homes and, you know, make that part of church, our ritual. You know, like we've got to be doing something back like we used to do on a consistent basis to counterbalance maybe some of the things that we are not willing to face. I would like to work with people with a strategy around that. We practice something every, and to all your listeners out there, Ms. Rogers, we practice a Qigong and we do some wonderful Tong Ren healing on our communities. I would like to put that forth on Saturday that we start healing our communities in subspace. We start in subspace because it's hard to get close to their space, and we'll make it easy for them to actually move. And we can practice some of our silver techniques where we go in level, create everybody being in a laboratory, and just wake each other up from a sleep. You know, we basically have been in a movie. We're watching this movie as if it's real, and we don't participate. I think we do participate. I think once we wake up, people will be feeling like I feel. Like, you know, we got to make some changes. And here's one thing that I can do every day to make some changes. It's not impossible to change. You know, it's never too late. As long as you have breath, you can make some changes.
Yeah, and to keep having the discussions, you know, to keep informing people. And if everyone that's on the call or on listening in, you know, be it by computer or on the phone or whatever the mechanism that you're using, if you could just take and start a conversation with someone that you have a thought that maybe they never heard of the term GMO, and just start talking about it. Not everybody knows what a GMO. I know I didn't know for a long time, and when I started learning, I went to a presentation with Jeffrey Smith and some other individuals here in Atlanta, and they had a discussion around it. And so anytime I get the opportunity, I mention GMO to people and, you know, attempt to have that discussion. Dr. Mark, I would like for you to give your information as far as your website, your telephone number, and the information for the class that we do on Saturday mornings, the Qigong. But I also, before we end the call, because you brought up such a very interesting topic on Saturday, this past Saturday, that I had never heard of before, explain to us what's happening with our water supply.
Well, what's really interesting is, you know, we think about the cattle industry. And, you know, where's all the water going? I'm from California, and Sandy and I are from the same hometown, Compton, California. I was born in Birmingham, but I was raised in Los Angeles. And whenever I talk to my sisters and I see that they have, you know, droughts, and I love watching the news, and it's just a desert out there. And I didn't grow up like that. It wasn't quite like that. So it led me to start looking at the water table. And I see that we're basically in a drought. All of the world is in a drought. But the water that we have, the cattle industry is using more of that water. The government is allowing them to have access to more of that water because it takes a lot to clean all that mess up from the cows and from the hogs and from the pigs. So they have to use a lot more water. And now that the water tables are low, that's the real cause. I mean, that's the real cause to be worried about. Food is really important, but water is really the biggest biggest hole in the bottom of the bucket because we're running out. And most of the water that's in, say, Los Angeles is filtered back through, but they can't filter out the meds in the water. They can't pull out the Prozac anymore. They can't get rid of all of the Ambien that's in the water. So the water now is really, really the issue globally. And so, you know, I will just want people to know about that. Food is the next big issue, as far as I'm concerned, because without water, I mean, you can go some days without basically food, and you can go a few days without water. And the next thing will be the air, the quality of the air. So we have to wake up. But right now the topic is genetically modified organisms, so we're just going to stay there. Those of you that like to contact me, I'm at a Ahimke Center for Wholeness. That's A-H-I-M-K-I, Center for Wholeness, at gmail.com. Ahimke Center for Wholeness at gmail.com. My website is Ahimke, A-H-I-M-K-I.net. Again, A-H-I-M-K-I.net. And you can reach me at my phone number, 770-552-4242. And to all the listeners that are on this show, if you really want to tap in to some proactive things, let's start with you. And every Saturday we have a class at 8 a.m. It's been really wonderful. We've been training outside, doing medical Qigong, so we're learning to raise our vibration. And we're working with something called Tong Wen to raise the vibration of our community. And we always do a healing at the end of class. Spirit guided us into this so that we can begin to help each other and help our communities heal. Sandy, you started by paying homage to the ancestors. I know that the ancestors sit right at the feet of the Creator, so we need to work with them. I think if we elevate our ancestors, I mean, if we get water and, you know, get some gin and stuff to raise them up, put some good fruit, organic fruit on the altar, you know, that would really help our children, the energy of our grandchildren, and just begin to raise the vibration. Because the ancestors need to be able to step in and help. We need their help. Since we know we're in a battle down here, just for our sanity, just for our consciousness, we need to be invoking that power. And then the last thing is cleansing, daily cleansing. I mean, cleansing the colon, and Deborah's on the line, so you can talk to her about coffee enemas and all the wonderful work that she's doing. Maybe we should be taking more classes along those lines and getting that word out everywhere we go that we need to do a mental detox, a physical detox, a spiritual detox. I mean, just take a break sometimes from all this toxicity and cleanse. What do you say,
yeah,
Sandy?
Especially the electronics too, Dr. Mark. You know, the cell phones and the computers, and
that is so true. In a system called neural integration, the first thing we clear is all of the interference that's running through your house, because that's making you sick. We're talking about the clock radios near your head, the phones that you use to wake you up in the morning, and just all the electricity and all the electrical stuff that's on these cars. I mean, the navigation system all the way down to the smart technology that's out is poisoning our brains. And we know people that have had brain cancers and tumors as a result of too much EFM so close to their brain that it distorts the cells. So we got a lot of pollution. I mean, we got genetically modifying food. That's the topic. You know, we got that deal with that, but also pollution on every front. If we want to really grow our spirits to the optimal level, we have to be mindful and spread the word. So I challenge the audience, if you found this topic to be of interest to you, could you go to non-GMO project? If you could just go to non-GMOproject.org and just sign up, and they will give you lots of stuff that you can do. Just going to non-GMOproject.org, there's a way for you to participate. There's a way for you to contact them and a way to get involved. I think if everybody got involved and just would spread the word, like finding out some really good restaurants that have been verified to have the good stuff, participating with realtors, you know, with people that actually sell good stuff. I mean, that sell, participating with retailers that sell good stuff. That's how we win, when we take our money and we take our energy and spend it on things that we believe in. They're paying attention. I remember back in the day when my grandparents and parents were picketing. If they didn't like what was going on at Piggly Wiggly's, they wouldn't support it. They just wouldn't. They would take their dollars and spend them somewhere else. And nowadays, even the stores are paying attention to how we spend our money as Black America. We're probably the fifth richest country in the world, the money that we have in Black America. If we pulled that energy together and voted, or pulled our dollars together and spoke, they would be listening. They would stop that crap in our community overnight. And I like William's point. How do we organize in such a way that gives us strategy to fight a war? Well, one way, I think, is getting people to first face this whole conversation about GEs and GMOs, and at least getting some awareness, and then bringing it down to HIP National Bank, right where it is, where they live, and showing them how they could spend their money and get better foods. My mother-in-law, for example, found that there are days of the week when food is much less than other days of the week, and that you can really buy food for less money. You can eat really good at some places for less money than you spend eating bad. And she's coming up with a television show, spinning it right now to start producing that show on cable. So there's creative people out there doing good things. We need to support them. We need to find out more about them, and then make that part of our projects too. Because it doesn't take a lot if we do it in co-op. It doesn't take a lot if we organize and demand from our stores, since we're spending all of our dollars there, demand from them some respect and some good food. They would do it for us, especially if our dollars backed it up.
There you go. Dollars make sense, right?
Bottom line is money.
I just want to remind the audience again about the bill that's before the House. It's H.R. 1599, the Safe and Accurate Food Labeling Act. Make sure that you learn about it, read up about it. But we want to make sure that this does not pass, because it is about inaccurately or omitting the fact that GMOs are a part of any food substance. Dr. Mark, you have provided such a tremendous amount of information. We didn't even take a break.
Sandy, I love you, and thank you for always honoring me. I mean, you really are really kind, and I appreciate your generosity to have me on the show.
Yeah, you're so passionate about what you're doing, and I know that we have all learned a lot tonight from you, Dr. Mark, and I appreciate it, and we'll have to get you a show going or have you on here more regularly.
I would love that. I love the energy of working with you and Deborah. I think it would be really good for us in law and some of our friends from our classes to, you know, because we do have some really important stuff to say. We trained all of our lives, and we've been dedicated for many, many years, all of us, in the pursuit of growth. And it's time that we step up. If we don't, who will?
I agree. Yeah. I agree. So our time is just about at the end, and I just want to thank everyone for joining me and Dr. Mark on the call tonight, Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandra Rogers Show, candidly about positive experiences, personal development, self-discovery, and holistic wellness. We inform, we excite, and hopefully cause something to change in your mindset. When we love ourselves, we cause no harm or danger to anyone, and we are at peace and harmony with all of humanity. This is your host, Sandy Rogers. May you forever live in divine wellness. See you next week.
And so it is.
So it is.
Love and wellness. What I need.